The first reading is from Psalm 116, verses 1 to 7. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you.
Second reading is from Luke chapter 24, 13 to 35, and is on 106, of the Church Bible. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they did not. They were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it was just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. As he was at the table with them, he broke bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Christine. Morning, everybody. Morning. Great to see people. For those who don't know me, I'm Manda. I have the privilege of being the vicar and leading the church here, and it's great to gather. I wonder, do you receive any proper post these days? There's a few shakes of the head. You know, there may be the occasional white or brown envelope, but like proper post, unless it's a birthday or an anniversary, you may not get much proper post. Well, Tuesday, I received this. And I opened it up. It's an Easter card. It says, "Celebrate the resurrection, happy Easter." A declaration and celebration of Jesus' resurrection. But it's late. It's very late. Easter was the 5th of April. This arrived on the 14th of April. I was actually on the phone that very evening to the lovely friend who sent it to me. So I said, "Helen, thank you so much for the Easter card. It arrived today." "Today," she said. "I posted that on Tuesday of Holy Week. It had taken 2 weeks to get to me." Now, I know that this says a lot about our current postal service, and I did debate whether to do this as the opening, because I don't want you to be distracted and sitting there now thinking about Royal Mail, because that's not my point. My point is, it got me thinking. Because 1 year, I was at an Easter service where the celebration was wonderful, but one of the points in the sermon was that the next 40 days are just as important as the 40 days you've just gone through. And I'd worked really hard in Lent. What an interesting phrase that is in itself. I'd just had a set book and I'd given something up. And there I was celebrating on Easter Sunday, and there was someone telling me, "But it's all about the going forward from now. It's all about the going forward from now. Our journey and who we journey with." So Easter. The church is now in Easter season. We use the liturgy at the 9 o'clock. Here at this service, we made our Easter acclamation that Jesus is alive. But it's not even just an extension from Easter Sunday that the church has an Easter season. The resurrection of Jesus is not contained to one day. Yes, the empty tomb is the day that changed all of history and changes our individual lives. But although the resurrection of Jesus is about what happened that first Easter day, the resurrection is obviously about far, far more than that one day. I stand here to encourage us today to see that Easter, the resurrection of Jesus, is about every day. Because Jesus is alive. And when we believe and trust in him, it impacts wonderfully on every day of our lives. So my late Easter card got me thinking about that. And as I was thinking, a quote came to my mind. I knew it, I'd heard it, I was sure it was a C.S. Lewis quote, so I looked it up. In my head, it said, "If the resurrection is false, it is of no importance. And if it is true, it is of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important." Now, as you can see, I misremembered the quote. When C.S. Lewis actually said it, he was referring to Christianity. We could have a wonderful debate over coffee. I'm not saying that Christianity and the resurrection are synonymous, but the overlap is absolutely huge. Therefore, I'm sure Lewis wouldn't mind if I stand here today misquoting him as, "If the resurrection is false, it's of no importance. And if it's true, it is of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important." And many have looked, they've explored, they've tested, and they've come to know that the resurrection is true. And in knowing it's true, can see that it is of infinite importance. For those who know and follow Jesus, who know the resurrection to be true, do we know it's of infinite importance? I hope that we do. It is the core of the Christian faith. He is not there. He has risen. And if we know that in our hearts and in our lives, then we are resurrection people. We might know the phrase people of the revolution, but we are people of the greatest revolution ever. We are people of the resurrection. So what does it mean to live as people of the resurrection, to live as resurrection people? And that's what I want to explore today within this passage from the end of Luke, where we see an account of the risen Lord Jesus, account that we've referred to today, and you may or may not know it. Doesn't matter whether you're familiar with it or not. It's known as the Road to Emmaus. In fact, when Deborah said that earlier, I was thinking, a bit like Doubting Thomas last week, has this been misnamed? Maybe again over coffee we can propose a title for this passage, because Road to Emmaus puts it in a place, which is fine. But I want to say today, it's not about the place, it's about the person. It's about the person of the risen Lord Jesus who walks along with them. So as we unpack this morning, I'm really asking, what do we take from this scripture that helps us to live as resurrection people? So let me pray for us. And I just want to pray very clearly, Lord, make our hearts burn within us. Lord, make our hearts burn within us. As you open the scriptures to those on the road to Emmaus, their hearts burned and they recognized you. Lord, would you open your word to us, and living Lord Jesus, would you sit with us, walk with us right now, that we might know more of who you are and more of what it means to be resurrection people. Amen. So I've taken four areas from this passage where I think we see that Jesus, because he's alive, enables us to live as resurrection people. And the first area is in tough times. So if you're sat here today and you're going through something and it's a tough time for you, I'm sorry, but hear that Jesus is with us. And if you're not going through a tough time, then I'm sorry to say that at some point each of us will. Particularly, we see in this passage the area of grief and pain. As Christine read it to us, the opening words in verse 13 were, "Now that same day." So which day are we on? Well, we're 2 weeks ago. We're on Easter Sunday. We're on Easter Day. We're on Resurrection Day. Cleopas and his companion have been in Jerusalem. They've witnessed everything that happened with Jesus being put to death on Good Friday. And for some reason, probably shock and grief, they've stayed around in Jerusalem. And they've stayed there until Sunday. And then they're walking. They're walking back home. They're walking to Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Interestingly, the scripture refers to the two of them. And so when we look at that pronoun them, it's referencing that they were part of the wider circle of disciples of Jesus. So let's think about what it was like for them. Cleopas and his companion had seen Jesus. They'd known him. They may have spent quite a lot of time with him. They saw what he did and had heard what he said. And so therefore, they then saw their friend and teacher put to death, that cruel, devastating death. So what's it like for them? They're grieving. They're in pain. And they're probably rather confused, because if they think about what was Jesus said of himself, what's happening? And we read in the passage, as they walked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came and walked along with them. Living as resurrection people means seeing that Jesus is in the tough times with us. Cleopas is walking with his companion. This companion of Cleopas is one of the many, many unnamed people in the Bible. It could have been Cleopas's wife. It could have been a family member. It could have been a friend. It makes me pause for a moment and encourage you to be thankful for the human people you have walking alongside you. Whether they be family or friends, those who are there with you and for you and walk the path, don't forget to give thanks to God for them and maybe tell them yourself. But living as people of the resurrection, we not only see the human people that we're given, we can see that Jesus walks with us through times of grief and pain and difficulty. And interestingly, our English translation of the scripture shows a real emphasis. It says, Jesus himself came and walked with them. It's used because of the Greek word that's used, is wanting to convey something particular. We rarely use this in English. I'm not sure you'd say, Manda herself came to see me. But this Greek translation emphasizes A, that it was Jesus, and B, that he was very present with those he walked with. I also love the phrase, walked along with them. Jesus walks the path that they are walking. He joins them in the place they are. And it struck me that Jesus walked at the pace that they were walking. Otherwise, he would have gone on ahead of them. So whatever place you're walking through, and whatever pace you need to take it at, the risen Lord Jesus walks with us. He joins us on this time through whatever we're going through. The risen Lord Jesus walks with us in pain and grief. Another area, disappointment. In this passage, we see that living as resurrection people, having the risen Lord Jesus in our lives, can speak into any disappointments we have. I wonder what you're disappointed about. As Jesus walks with them, it's actually quite amusing if you think about it. He asks what they're talking about, and they tell him, we're talking about Jesus. But it is Jesus that they're talking to. They just have been prevented from recognizing him at the moment. But as they talk about Jesus, they refer to him as a prophet, powerful in word and deed. And then they talk about his crucifixion. And then we read a phrase that has stuck with me over many years, maybe because of the disappointments that I've experienced. But Cleopas is recorded as saying, we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. It's just four of those words. We had hoped that. That's disappointment. They had hoped that Jesus was the one who would redeem Israel by overthrowing the occupying Romans. They even say that they know the women went to the tomb and found it empty, and that they'd had a vision of angels who said Jesus was alive. I think that's why they stayed in Jerusalem until Sunday. Jesus had talked enough about rising on the third day. And they've heard the women. They've heard what's being said, and yet Their overriding sentiment shared with this man who comes and walks alongside them was, oh, we'd hoped that. We had hoped that. They are sharing, we thought it would be this way. This was our expectation. This was our way of seeing it. This is what we wanted to happen. But this is what happened. They killed him. And we are disappointed. And what does Jesus do? He explains from the scriptures, from all the scriptures concerning him, who he is and how it had to be. And later they recognize him as he breaks the bread. And they say, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us? In our disappointments, living as resurrection people, we're invited to dwell in scripture, to seek God's word, to hear Jesus speak to us. Because when we look in the Bible, when we let God speak to us, it often brings a new perspective or a new courage for the season we're in. Now, obviously, with Cleopas and his companion, what they had wanted to happen was actually misguided. And the scriptures enabled them to see the true picture of Jesus' mission. And actually, they would come to see, and we get to see, how he not only redeemed Israel, but the whole world. But it just wasn't in the way that they had imagined. And some of our disappointments may be misguided. Sometimes we have expectations of other people which we just shouldn't have. Sometimes we've misinterpreted. Oh, they said that. That means this. Maybe they didn't mean that. We need to be really careful with our disappointments, especially those about other people. And scripture may help us to honestly see what's going on. But we also acknowledge that there may be genuine disappointments for you and for me. Disappointments in areas such as relationships, in the family, in the church, whether it be the big church with a capital C, the Church of England, or your local church, this church. It could be in your workplace. It could be disappointments about health issues. Situations where we had hoped that, and our hope was for right and good things, and they just haven't happened. We acknowledge that that is painful. But even with these true disappointments, God's voice through scripture can be so helpful. Because, of course, God's perspective is always helpful. And I know I'm at danger of proof texting. That means just taking a verse of the Bible and throwing it out there. But what came to me as I prepared this was that it was a good time to remind myself and share with you Romans 8:28. For we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That's not to minimize the pain and the difficulty, but it's to say God is God and God has a way. Living as resurrection people means we're invited to let the risen Lord Jesus into our disappointments. We had hoped that. And to listen to him through the scriptures for a new perspective and a new way forward. Next, and briefly but very important, is the reminder that living as people of the resurrection means Jesus is every day with us in the everyday things. Later in the passage, verse 28, we see that they get there. They're in Emmaus. It's their home village. And we read, Jesus acts as though he was going further. Hear again today that Jesus never imposes himself on anyone. He waits to be invited in. and to say, if you're here this morning and you have never invited the risen Lord Jesus to be part of your life and walk with you, there's no better day than today. But he won't impose himself on you. We read that Cleopas and his companions urged him strongly, stay with us. Strong language. They urged him strongly. But do you know what? We don't have to urge Jesus strongly to come and stay with us. He is with us. He's with you in your home already. But what struck me is I want to urge myself strongly to delight in seeing the risen Lord Jesus with me in the everyday. When I'm tending the new chickens, when I'm sitting in the conservatory, when we're making dinner together, to see that the risen Lord Jesus is there in the everyday things. I'm urging myself to do that, and I urge you to. It's all about recognizing him, isn't it? Recognizing him being there when we're in pain, recognizing him being there when we're disappointed, and recognizing him being there when we're in the everyday mundane tasks. Many years ago, and this is an old little story, so bear with me if you don't know the person I'm referring to, but there was a Christian author who produced loads of books, fun books and serious books, when I was a student and when I came to faith. His name was Adrian Plass. And he did a bit of a take on the Adrian Mole, age 13 and three quarters, you know, Adrian Plass, age 40 and three quarters, or whatever he called it. And we all of that era knew him quite well, read his books. I saw various nods. But if you're much younger than me, just stay with me. There was this bloke called Adrian Plass. He wrote books and he did talks. Good friend of mine, I was a bit envious, got tickets to a dinner where he was the after-dinner speaker. And she went on her own and looked around at tables and just chose a seat. She said it was a fairly nice meal. Chatted to a person on one side, chatting to the person on this side. What do you do? And she was training to be a psychologist, and they chatted. She lived in Birmingham. She just met this guy, da-da-da-da-da. And then she said, what about you? What do you do? I said, well, I've been known to write a book. I speak. She saw big guy, beard, black hair, sat next to Adrian Plass. She had not recognised him. There were plenty of little drawings on the front of his books and his picture at the back. She just hadn't really thought. She hadn't recognised him. How easily the prominent person of our life, the resurrected Lord Jesus, how easy it might be not to recognise him. Because I get too busy. Because I do it in my own strength. Because I just didn't think. She never thought she'd get sat next to the after-dinner speaker. We are always sat next to Jesus. We are always in the privileged position of being close to him. Finally then, what are we to be like as resurrection people? We are to be declarers of the truth. Cleopas and his companion, having recognized the resurrected Jesus, become declarers of the truth. And there's a real urgency about it. Jesus broke the bread in their home. It's him. They'd seen him break bread in other places, no doubt. In the familiar, they recognised him. In their own home, they recognised him. It's him, the one that was on the cross. They were right, that tomb is empty. He's alive. They got up. Run 7 miles or more. They just went straight back. Just for a minute, think about how incredible that is. They were grieving and sad, and they had trudged 7 miles to Emmaus. It was hot and dusty, and we read in Scripture that the day was almost over. But as soon as they recognised that Jesus is alive, they are back to Jerusalem. They need to tell the others. They are declarers of the truth, and there is an urgency about it. They go back, they find the 11. It is true. The Lord has risen. I'm out of breath and I only read up and there. Their urgency was that this was new news. On Friday, he was dead. Sunday, he's alive. Our urgency, brothers and sisters, is that Jesus is coming back and we don't know when. I tell you what, if I was told that Jesus was coming back on Wednesday, I would be in my car this afternoon to Melton Mowbray to see my brother and sister-in-law, to see my nieces. But the last time I saw them, did I tell them about Jesus? Big challenge, isn't it? We may not have physically seen Jesus like those two did, but if you know in your knower that he is the Lord and he is alive, you're a follower of Jesus, then as resurrection people, we are called to be declarers of the truth. And surely that's a joy, being able to bring the best news ever to those we love, to family and friends and work colleagues and neighbours, and even to those that we only just meet, the strangers, so that they too may know Jesus and know that he's alive and live as resurrection people. I love these weeks after Easter when we look at resurrection appearances. But the encouragement today is to see that actually an Easter card would never be late. Every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, but not even just every Sunday. Every day is Resurrection Day. And I've invited us to consider today, in what way might you step further into being and living as a resurrection person? Having our eyes opened to recognize, to see Jesus walking alongside us in our grief and pain, to seek to hear Jesus' voice in the scriptures in our disappointments, urging ourselves to recognize the risen Jesus in the everyday, and knowing the urgency for us all to be declarers of the truth. What is God saying to you about living as a resurrection person? And if for you it's to say, I believe you're alive, Jesus, I now want to follow you, that's the best first step. And if you've done that in the past, then may the Lord speak to us all about living as resurrection people. And as I close, the other wonderful thing is Cleopas had a companion. Let us be companions to each other, that we might help each other see the risen Lord Jesus journey along with us. Amen.